Oh, hi, Kieran.
Oh, hi.
How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm great. What are you doing here?
Fancy seeing you on the other side of these microphones.
It's just such a funny coincidence.
I know, isn't that weird?
How did this happen?
We're both here. We're recording. All the equipment happened to be set up.
Should we do something?
I mean, it feels like a waste not to do something.
Should we drop another holiday special?
I think that could be fun. Perhaps some sort of spooky stories.
What if we read out listener ghost stories?
Ooh, that sounds fun.
Hi, guys.
Hello. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Welcome to 2022. Mm-hmm. I had to think about that.
We're not in 2022 yet.
No, but you'll be listening to this in 2022.
It's like a time capsule.
Yeah. Coming to you from the past, as usual. For us, it's just before Christmas. The sun has just gone down, so it's 4 o'clock.
For those of you who ask quite often, Odin is here with us. He is lying beside my feet, on my feet, on top of all of our cables, which is fun.
Yep, he's the cable manager.
He's the cable manager.
Are you going to say hi?
He's huffing.
Yeah.
Because I'm not paying any attention to him.
Yeah, but if there's bangs, it's not ghosts, it's just the dog.
Yeah, and he is quite close to the microphone because he is under my chair. And I can't move him. He's wedged himself into the corner. I have a little corner of the office because, you know, I'm a goblin. And he's just wedged himself in. I can't move him. So he's here.
He's here. He's joining in. He's here to listen to your spooky stories.
Yeah.
Because some of you have been very kind and accepted our request for them and have sent in your own ghost stories. And we've got a few together now, so we're going to let you hear them.
Yeah, we have a good number of really good ghost stories. So thank you very much.
Thank you. And if you are listening and have a ghost story, please email it to us.
Yeah, send it to us, because we will read it out.
We will. At generallyspooky@gmail.com.
Yes.
Or on Instagram. You could do it in an Instagram message, if that was easier.
Yeah. Email is probably easier for us.
Mm-hmm.
But if Instagram is easier for you, then that's fine.
And typed out is fine. Well, I suppose if you wanted, you could do like an audio of it, but typing out is fine.
Typing is probably easiest.
Yeah.
But, you know, live your life.
Live your life.
I'm so excited. I've been wanting to read these for ages.
I know. And we're both going to read them.
Yes. Kieran is going to read some of your ghost stories.
Hello. Hello. Welcome. This is me. Hello. Mm-hmm.
He's doing the thing.
I'm doing the thing. I'm going to try. Put on my big boy pants. Warm up my voice.
You're going to be a big boy.
Going to be a big boy. I'm going to read the spooky story.
You're going to graduate and you're going to be a big boy.
Well, do we roll the music? Does this have music? I never know.
I think so.
What's the format? What are we doing?
I think any episode would miss the intro music.
That's true.
If I'm listening to a podcast and it usually has intro music and then they don't play it, I get very disoriented. So roll the music.
Roll the music.
See, wasn't that nice?
I enjoyed it.
Don't you feel soothed now?
I do. I mean, I didn't currently listen to it because I have to put it in afterwards.
Yeah, we just paused for about a second and a half.
Yeah, but you, the listener, will have listened.
I bet you feel just more satisfied.
Mm,
and more that's what we're here for.
Settled in.
Mm-hmm.
Settle, petal. Because it's time to get spooky.
With your stories.
With your stories.
So we've kind of just divided everything up. So Kieran's going to read a couple and I'm going to read a couple. And sorry, he's playing with the plugs. And some of you were good enough to send multiple ghost stories in the same email. So we're just going to read them all.
Yep.
Because it'll be fun.
Because it will be fun.
And Kieran is going first.
I am going first. We've decided to give our stories, or the stories we're reading, titles. These are titles we've made up. Mm-hmm. In future, if you want to give a title to your own spooky story, feel free to do so.
Yeah, like set the scene. Well, Kieran's going to go first.
Yes. I have a ghost story brought to you from the lovely listener, Jan, who's been a long-time listener who we chat to fairly regularly.
Hi, Jan.
Hi, Jan. You rock. You sent us a ghost story. a goose story.
Goose stories. It's a solid start. I like it.
With the subject, some spooky shit. So I'll now share with you some spooky shit.
Please do, Kieran. Please do. I am excited.
Okay, so here goes. As a child slash teen, always noticed weird stuff that happened and always believed people when they said they'd seen ghosts or had weird stuff happen. Never thought anything of it at the time. Just accepted it. Fast forward to late teens. I've started my first job as a dental nurse in a practice attached to the home of one of the dentists. A big old house that used to give me the heebies just walking past. Weirdly, nothing happened other than stuff moving when I left at night. Just blame the senior partner, shall we? One day, after the senior dentist announces she's retiring, the junior prince partner announces that he's bought the nearby Castlegate Lodge and is opening his own practice in there. The receptionist's jaw drops open and she goes pale. I was aware of the story surrounding the castle and the church crypt near it, but not the Gate Lodge. Until she spoke up and said that not only was it tiny, but that she'd sooner retire than set foot in it. "You know it's haunted? Don't be ridiculous, you're nowhere near retiring age," came the reply, ignoring the last statement completely.
You'd rather retire than go to this place?
Yeah, so, no, I'm taking early retirement. Fuck that place.
Oh my god.
It's quite a reputation.
Ooh.
Makes you wonder how suitable it would be to, you know, like, sweet, I'm just going to turn this into a dental practice.
Well, if the people don't want to work there, who wants to go and get their mouth torn apart?
That's true.
In a haunted house? I hate the dentist anyway.
A haunted dentist? It's a whole other level.
Or would that... Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. Just, would that make you more inclined to go?
Oh, maybe.
If you're like, ooh, spooky teeth.
Scale polish and a ghost sighting.
Right?
Could work.
You take your camera.
Yeah.
And that could be really funny if you're just recording trying to find a ghost and you're like all high on the air, the gas and air.
But what if you have the thing to keep your mouth open in? Start talking like this.
There's that game. There's a party game.
Oh, yeah.
Where that's the premise. I mean, you get some mileage out of that as a haunted dentist.
I know. That might be quite good. Anyway.
Sorry. It just popped into my head.
Well, she was talked around, place was gutted, and 6 months later was completed. We were to open there on Monday. It was September, so still getting in and out of work before dark. Meanwhile, Betty still wouldn't talk about it except to say that she'd not set foot in the main upstairs room. I found out why the day before we started there.
Oh, no. What's it going to be, Jan? What's it going to be, Jan?
It was a pleasant day, which meant going for a walk with my bestie, and we always passed it on the way back, the new practice. Only really looked over before then to see how work was coming on. Not overly bothered if I saw light from the window of that upstairs room. Well, I glanced over this time, fully expecting to see a car there and the big lights on. Nope, this time I see a ghostly face. A girl with eyes as dark as her long hair staring out from the room window. No lights on and no car meant nobody there. My face, I'm told, has gone white as a sheet. My friend then looked over, nothing and nobody there. I decided to just put it out of my head. After all, I'd be in there the next morning and could check for myself if something was amiss. Still had my friend freaked out, though, as clearly I'd got spooked. I spoke to the receptionist in private the next day, and she confirmed that what I'd seen was what she had seen years before and was the reason she didn't want to be there. I didn't want to push it, so we just agreed. There's something otherworldly up there, and that was that. I.e., expect weird shit from here on out. Nobody else ever saw, heard, or felt anything other than the fact the upstairs room was always freezing cold. Over the time I spent there, I had things move, disappear, and turn up not as I had left them. I heard floorboards creak when I was the first one in, sudden unexplained drafts when the heating was on. That upstairs room was used as an office that only the boss's missus would sit in to do the accounts, frequently asking, "Is the heating on? Radiator's up here or on, but this room is Baltic!" I told nobody in there after the receptionist took early retirement. They would not have believed me. I left and never set foot in it again. I'll never forget seeing that face, though. Still makes me feel cold inside and thinking about it. I've had weird stuff happen since then, but that was the spookiest ever.
Oh, creepy.
Creepy.
Super creepy.
You okay, Jan? Like, are you alright?
Put on some cozy socks. Make yourself a cup of tea. And you just relax.
Yeah, chill out.
Like, even if, you know, you're over it now, that's what you've earned.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're giving that to you.
And we salute you in your search for the spook.
Yeah, we rate that cozy socks and cup of tea out of 17.
And that's a good rating. I would rate that 17 coffins.
That's really creepy. Really, really creepy.
A full-on face in a window.
That's like a childhood fear.
Yeah.
Of looking into like dark windows or out of dark windows and seeing someone on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
That's always creepy.
Always creepy. I was walking the dog last night and I was down one of the country roads with no street lamps on because it's not any houses on the street. But there's houses down the hill that have their lights on. There's one that had all the lights on in the living room, but there's just one big dark figure in one window. Very creepy. It was just like someone standing there, I think, changing the channel. But it was like frosted glass. So it was just this big, like shimmering black silhouette, properly standing like Slender Man at the window. I glanced over and just went, oh no. But that's, you know, that was clearly someone in their house. Can't imagine if all the lights were off and I looked down and saw a spooky girl's face. Grim.
I know. I don't know about you, but with this dentist office, I'm imagining it kind of like the house in Beetlejuice.
Oh, yeah.
And kind of like the big mansion in Casper. Did you ever watch Casper?
Ooh, I think I did, but I don't know.
Christina Ricci? Ritchie?
Don't know.
Oh, it's good. You need to watch it. It's so good. But I'm kind of imagining it like that, and I don't think that's the type of house it was. But I'm imagining a big, like, haunted mansion on top of a hill.
Well, I just like that, what was it? It's the Castlegate Lodge. And so, oh, yeah, like, there's stories around the castle and the crypt nearby, obviously.
But the lodge is fine.
Yeah, the lodge is fine. I mean, if it's near a church crypt, that's not that's not a good setting for anything, is it?
I mean, my old primary school was on one side of a graveyard.
Oh, yeah, we've driven past that, haven't we?
And there was a, like, Pictish crypt underneath the museum, which is, like, in the graveyard.
Could have picked a better spot for that.
So, you know, like, it just happens sometimes.
Yeah.
Our break times used to get cancelled if there was funerals.
It's very weird.
Yeah. And totally valid. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Totally. But you just kind of got used to it as a kid. Because, oh, there's a funeral, we can't go out and play. No football today.
No football today, ladies and gentlemen. But
then you think about that as adults. My break times as a child got cancelled because there were funerals next door. And it was a low wall.
Mm-hmm.
The wall separating them was one of the old stone walls. It was only about 3 or 4 feet.
Just a bit weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, kicking the football into the graveyard.
That used to happen. You used to have to go get a teacher, and then the teacher would go into the graveyard to go get it.
Bet the teachers love that, trying to have a break.
Well, I think they had an understanding with... Oh, that was Odin rotating. I think the teachers had an understanding with the people who like maintained the graveyard, but they were just allowed to go in, and it was fine.
Well, because it would happen.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a thing.
Especially because the goal was like 6 or 7 feet away from the cemetery wall.
Does it not, like, if there was no net, the ball would go through the goal and over the wall?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it was right there. Hmm. So it happened a lot. And then if you didn't do that, if you kicked it over the other fence, it went into the golf course.
I bet they got way more annoyed.
They did. They were really arsey about just...
Damn golfers.
...children being there. Well, the school was there first.
I know. Weird.
Anyway, thank you, Jan.
Thank you, Jan. That was an excellent 17 out of 17 coffin story.
Loved it. Loved everything about it. Spooky, creepy, little girl's face, dentists. It had everything.
All horrifying. Up and down.
It had everything I'm scared of.
So who do you have?
Well, I have a few ghost stories in this email. I actually have 4. And they're from Emma. So, hi, Emma.
Hi, Emma. Thank you very much.
We did get your email. I'm going to email you back once we've recorded to tell you that we have recorded your story. Because she emailed about a month ago. So, yeah, I have 4 ghost stories from Emma.
Ooh.
And they are all ghostly.
Spookerific. Spooktacular.
But the title of the email is Listener Ghost Stories. Mm. Hi, lovelies.
Oh,
so nice. Firstly, I just want to say that I love your podcast and eagerly await each new episode. That is adorable. Thank you so much. I have a few ghost stories for your consideration and a 4th story, which, while not a ghost story, is very weird and spooky.
Oh, I'm here for that.
Exactly. Don't mind that at all. Number 1. I was staying at my dad's house back in 2013 in Derby. It was a standard UK mid-20th century house with a standard layout. The front door opened onto a long, narrow hallway, half the width of which was dominated by a staircase, which when entering the house was on the left. Two doorways, neither of which had a door, led off from the hallway. To the right was a doorway into the kitchen diner, and straight ahead was the doorway into the lounge.
Hmm. Sounds good.
Yeah. Dad had popped out and I was upstairs. I came downstairs for a brew, and something, that's a cup of tea, if you're not British, and something caught my eye through the doorway of the lounge. As I turned, I saw that there was an elderly man, perhaps 80s, even 90 plus years old, and very frail, sitting in my dad's armchair. I froze. The word ghost didn't spring to mind. Honestly, I was thinking that this man must have lived in the house until he moved to a care home or something, and so he must have wandered back to what was his house. Perhaps he had Alzheimer's or dementia, and I was trying to figure out how best to handle the situation. He was looking at me, but didn't seem all that shocked to see me. I wasn't really afraid. I just stepped into the doorway and I said hello. He said hello back and asked me if I was one of the carers. I can't remember his exact wording. I lied and said yes, and I offered him a cup of tea. My thinking was that I needed to find out the man's name, where he lived now, etc. And I thought chatting over a brew might be the best approach to ask questions.
That's very wise.
Isn't that smart?
That is very smart.
When I was reading through this before we started, I was like, damn, that's...
That's so, like, pragmatic and, and sensible.
Especially if it is someone who has dementia.
Yeah, because... And it would make sense they would come home.
Yeah, if they have dementia and you start panicking them, you're not going to be able to figure out anything.
No.
Very well done, Emma.
Mm-hmm.
17 out of 17 for handling. He said yes to the offer of tea, and I half turned in the doorway before thinking to ask how he takes his tea. Except when I turned back a second later, he was gone.
Oh. That's full on spook.
Putting aside for a moment the fact that I turned back to face the man after only a second, I hadn't moved from the doorway, so he couldn't have passed me. The lounge window was locked, and the only other exit, the back door from the lounge to the garden, was also locked.
Oh.
And that's it. No answer.
No answer. Oh man, that would mess you up.
Wouldn't it?
I've always thought that's a more compelling, like, ghost sighting.
Well, I suppose as resident ham sandwich, Kieran, what would you do? How do you feel about this?
If I were in that situation?
Well, yeah, you're saying this is more convincing. Like, talk me through your process.
Well, I thought it would be more convincing because it's not just like a faint shadow, because that could just be a shadow.
Yeah, that could be your shadow.
Yeah, just a full person like, oh, there's someone sat there. That's weird.
And they talk to me.
Yeah. But were I there, I'm not sure I would have had the sensibleness to be like, oh yeah, I'm fine, let's have a cup of tea together. I would have been like, what the fuck are you doing in my house? Who are you?
Do you know what I would have done if I thought there was an old man sitting in the house? I think I would have phoned my dad.
Just maintained eye contact and just took your phone out of your pocket like, Dad, I'm looking at an old man in my living room.
What do I do? Tell me what to do.
And they'd be like, oh, I very funny, saw my picture, did you? So, no.
That is our relationship. It's just Ruby. Yeah, I think I would phone my dad. That's I think fair. That would, my panic brain would make me do that. If I couldn't get him, I would phone mum.
Fair.
Because I'm a baby.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. But then, well, I think because I'm a ham sandwich, when I turned back around and they'd gone, I just gone, wow, that was weird. And then just like, carried on making myself a cup of tea.
Oh, how could you though? Oh, you know what? Having spoken to that speckly figure, I really fancy a cup of tea now. I'm just going to still... Like, why?
Just, like, shake it off. And, oh, no.
How? I couldn't do that.
There's a recurring kind of, like, joke theme magic, almost, in Terry Pratchett, where that you can get away with things because the brain, if it can't comprehend what it's seeing, just chooses to ignore it. So... Like, you can make yourself just utterly bananas and people won't see you because they just, their brain chooses not to. I can't think of an example, but it's how the witches, like, do magic. So they'll do something crazy and then nobody notices. Like, how does no one notice? Like, oh, they just don't want to. They don't need this drama in their life. The brain just shuts it out. So I think that's what my brain would do. Just, nope, and then just made my cup of tea and go back upstairs.
Let's not tell Ailey that one, because yeah. she will flip her lid.
Or I'd far too casually tell it to you later again.
Oh, like, very true, yeah. Like that, after, no, you're right, that's exactly what you would do. It wouldn't be that you would make a conscious effort not to tell me. You would tell me in completely the wrong way, and I would lose my mind.
Yeah, but like, having dinner, I'm like, oh, did I tell you I like saw a fool, like, old man in the living room and he disappeared? Yeah, that was weird.
He was over there where you're sitting.
Nah, pass.
Well, that's only story one of four.
Excellent
Emma, you're
story.
Starting strong.
I know.
Love it. Love everything about it.
Love it. Love it.
Okay, ready for story number two?
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't the first time that I saw a ghost, however.
Ooh.
When I was 6 or 7 years old, I was walking home with my dad at dusk. We were walking past a cemetery, and at this age, I was very afraid of ghosts and zombies and stuff. I was convinced that come dusk, that was the time when ghouls would make an appearance.
Fair assumption.
Funny that, considering what happened next. Oh no. As we walked down the road, on the opposite side of the street of the cemetery, I kept looking back over my shoulder, on the lookout for ghosties and ghoulies. Ghoulies. Looking again over my shoulder, I saw a man walking slowly down the pavement adjacent to the cemetery. He was glowing gold.
Well, that's a sight.
Even though over 20 years have passed... Oh, hang on. Even though over 20 years have passed, I really clearly remember this man's appearance. He was wearing robes, but was walking barefoot. And he was walking really slowly, arms slightly spread, palms upward. With typical 6 or 7 year old logic, I remember thinking that he looked like Jesus.
I mean, fair.
But couldn't be, because this gold man had short hair and was clean shaven.
That's how you tell Jesus apart from other people.
Well, you know, glowing gold, nah. Short hair, that's the defining feature.
I thought it was Jesus, but no beard.
No beard, no Jesus.
Fool 6-year-old logic, I love it.
I know. I wanted to ask my dad if he could see him too, but I didn't dare ask. I kept looking back over my shoulder, expecting the man to have gone, but he was always there, walking slowly down the street. We carried on down the road until we reached the turning to our street, and the gold man was in sight the entire time, just walking slowly down the opposite side of the road to us. The whole event must have lasted no more than 5 minutes, and though I don't consider myself religious, that very clear memory definitely shakes my conviction in that regard.
Wild. That's the Terry Pratchett logic. So the dad didn't see it because, like, that person was standing there and his adult brain went,
No,
they're not just they're not just this angelic figure over there. I'm not seeing that. But, weird.
That's bizarre. I've never heard of anything like that before.
No, that's like a new category.
Yeah.
Almost of ghost.
Angelic? That's a tractor. Yeah, angelic.
Yeah, and you're like,
I guess.
It's the glowing gold that's the weird bit. Because if that's the... Otherwise you're just like crazy homeless person. Or I am. Because I'm horrible.
Yeah. No one else was thinking that.
No, just me. That's weird.
Well, you know, I'm probably going to out myself as a bit of a strange person just now. But I get really anxious sometimes when it comes to falling asleep. Like, I think quite a lot of people do that. When I'm trying to fall asleep, that's when I start worrying about things and things start going around in my head. And one of the things that I have been anxious about in the past is someone like breaking into the house.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why. I've never had any real indication apart from like that one time where...
Oh, yeah.
Like someone was going to break in. But one of the things that I do to calm myself down is in my head, I go through the whole house room by room and I imagine everything just being filled with this like glowing gold light.
Mm.
So I go through it room by room and everything gets covered. And then in my mind, it's okay, everything's safe. Like nothing's going to happen. No one's going to break in.
That's funny.
So it's funny that that's a glowing gold man.
Well, similar to what you described. I used the Headspace app for quite a while. It's the meditation app.
Mm-hmm.
And one of their meditations is, I think it's for happiness, I think is the aim. And you imagine a little gold dot, like more or less in your belly button. And then it slowly gets bigger until it envelops you in this warm gold light. And then you imagine it going like out from you as well. So you're just like emitting this golden, warm, sun-like light.
Well, that's very similar to what I do in my head with the house. Yeah, maybe so that's where I got it from.
Maybe.
But it's just, it's a way for me to calm down. Mm. I can bring myself some peace.
Yeah, and it like it melts all your tension. So yeah. Like, as you imagine it getting bigger, like your muscles relax as it touches it, and then it goes out from you. So maybe this guy was just like
really good at it.
Yeah, next level meditation.
Yeah.
The robes would fit a yogi.
They would.
They as would the bare feet.
Interesting.
Hmm.
Very interesting.
Very interesting.
Well, yeah, maybe. I don't think I've ever told anyone that I do that.
No, I didn't know that. Almost nightly.
It's a way for me just to calm my brain.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
It settles me down. I imagine, like, I think through it and it makes me feel better and then I can fall asleep. But I feel a bit better if that's, like, a meditation technique. It's not just me being strange.
Yeah.
Well, that was a very interesting story.
I know. I like that. That's unusual. We've got two more.
Yeah, two more.
Oh, you rock, Emma.
I know. Thank you so much. Hang on, I just need to check something first before we go on. Okay. Ready for number three?
Yes.
Nice. A few weeks ago, I was in Winchester. Now, I just checked, and Winchester is a town in England. It's not just, like, the Winchester Mystery House.
Or?
In America.
The Winchester pub in Shaun of the Dead.
No, not just the pub in Shaun of the Dead. So a few weeks ago, I was in Winchester.
Mm-hmm.
I'm no longer afraid of cemeteries, during the day at least. Don't blame you for that, Emma, not Fair. Even a little. And in fact, I find them very peaceful and enjoy visiting them.
Mm-hmm.
So when I walked by a small church and noticed that they had a small cemetery, I decided to go and wander.
Lovely.
I think quite a lot of people do that. Yeah, that's quite common.
Not uncommon at all.
I took no more than two steps inside before I slipped. The stone path was actually made from headstones. And they were covered in red berries that had fallen from a tree, which made the surface very slippery. I bet they're rowan berries.
Oh.
I bet.
No idea.
My shoes had no grip, and so one foot slipped, quickly followed by the other, and I fell backwards, bracing myself. But then someone grabbed my upper arm, hard, and yanked me upwards back onto my feet. Can you imagine how fast your heart would be pumping?
Yeah.
I remember it took a few seconds for my feet to find purchase, and they were just sliding around in this berry mush while someone was still holding my arm. They only let go once I was steady on my feet again, except there was nobody there, and nowhere where anyone could have quickly gone, as I immediately turned to say thank you. Instead, I said thank you to thin air. I felt I had to, really,
yeah,
and just tried to shrug it off, being much more careful on the path from then on. I like to think there's a ghost who is tired of seeing people fall over on the slippery path and so has taken it upon him or herself to stand guard at the gate to help people.
I think before the weirdness of that, just looking down and realising what you thought was a path is a line of headstones. That's not going to feel weird.
I know.
Oh, sorry. Well, I mean, maybe that is also the path, but that'd be a bit weird.
Well, you know what's really bad? I think it's in several places across Europe and possibly in the UK. I'm not ruling it out. That in some places, Jewish cemeteries were raided for stone and headstones were used for like cobblestone buildings. Like headstones were taken away and they were repurposed when they shouldn't have been.
Jeez, oh.
So sometimes that happens where you're just out and about somewhere and it's a headstone.
Oh, man.
And it's because they were taken from Jewish cemeteries. People were like, oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly where. If I can remember, I'll try and share the article somewhere. But
presumably Germany in there a bit.
Well, there, but I think in several places in Europe.
Yeah.
And I'm not comfortable saying that it didn't also happen here because I feel like it might have. Now, curveball theory.
Mm-hmm.
What if this was the gold man?
Oh, you might have yourself a guardian angel.
Maybe. Maybe.
That would be interesting. Ooh.
What do you rate that story?
I rate that. I'm going to rate them all this probably, as I always do. I rate that 17. And that's pretty good.
It's pretty solid.
Yeah.
I think I like that story because I can imagine exactly how that feels when you're falling over.
Well, yeah, when someone steadies you,
mm-hmm.
you know.
You know what that feels like.
Yeah, you know what that's like. Whoa.
Right, last one.
Last one. Here we go. And this is the not a ghost story, but still spooky.
Yes. This isn't a ghost story, but it's no doubt weird.
Hmm.
Sweet spot.
I know.
Beautiful.
Perfect.
Perfect. When I was 12 to 14, my granddad was in a nursing home with dementia. The nursing home was directly across the street from our house, and so we visited daily.
That's nice.
Isn't it? That's so lucky.
That's really nice.
Most of the people in the home were elderly, but there was one man, Barry, who was in his 30s, and had been left in what they call a vegetative state, though I hate that term, after a motorbike accident.
Mm.
While you could see in his eyes that he knew exactly what was going on around him, he couldn't do anything for himself, and he couldn't do more than grunt to communicate. One night, I had a dream. I was in the nursing home. Everyone was asleep, including the night staff, and I moved room to room, seeing one by one that the staff were sleeping on the job. I then entered a room, realising it was Barry's room. He was in bed, but awake, and it was clear that he was choking. His breathing tube was blocked, and he was purple in the face, struggling. He saw me and looked me in the eye, and I swear, dream or not, I've never seen anyone look so desperate. I woke up and I shot out of my bed, flinging open my bedroom door. I didn't stop to consider that it was only a dream. I just felt certain that Barry was choking and that the staff were oblivious, and I had to tell my mum. Before I had a chance, however, she came running out of her bedroom, throwing on her dressing gown. I said, "Mum!" And she saw me and told me to stay in the house. I have younger siblings who couldn't be left alone, and that she had to go to the nursing home. I tried to tell her that Barry was choking, but she closed the door behind her without hearing me. When she came back sometime later, she said that Barry had died. He'd choked to death after his breathing tube became obstructed. The staff had been sleeping on the job, and for some reason, certain emergency alarms hadn't gone off. Turned out, Mum and I had the exact same dream at the exact same time. As for the nursing home, there was a big investigation and a lot of people lost their jobs.
Fuck! Oh, that gave me proper chills.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. That's insane.
That's scarier than a ghost story.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
I can almost imagine what that look looked like.
It is, and it like it makes me recoil inwardly imagining it.
Oh no. Ooh.
Mm-hmm. This kind of bolsters my theory that like it's not just going to haunted places for you, Emma. I think you got something going on with you.
Yeah. Got some empath powers on the go.
You got something.
Some spooking about you.
Oh. So those are Emma's stories.
Thank you, Emma. Those were wonderful. Oh God, I'm still reeling.
That's going to linger with you, I can tell.
Oh.
That'd be so scary.
Mm-hmm.
Especially at that age.
Yeah. What did she say? She was 12 to 14.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot to deal with. Especially if, like, the next day you go into school and then tell people what happened and they're all just like, "Shut up, what are you talking about?"
I know.
No, I don't know what happened.
Or even at that age, it would be scary enough just getting to know that person who's in the nursing home and then finding out that they had died unexpectedly.
Yeah.
Like, that would be a lot to deal with just by itself.
Yeah.
Because you're used to seeing them, you don't really process things in the same way when you're that age.
Or knowing there's young people, I mean, 30 still seems quite old when you're 12, but young people living with full body paralysis.
Yeah. Again, Emma, I feel like you also deserve a cup of tea, but I'm going to upgrade your package that you deserve a bar of chocolate to keep the dementors away.
Yeah, it helps with dementor attacks, which apparently are common in your life.
So that's what we prescribe.
Yep.
Because we're doctors.
I'm a doctor. Well.
I know.
Thank you to Jan and Emma.
So, balls in your court again, McCray.
Yeah, keep your balls away from me, sir.
What do you got?
One moment. I have a story coming from the US.
Ooh.
From a Mike. Thank you, Mike, for writing in.
Thank you, Mike.
You're the best. You rock. You spelled my name wrong, but that's okay. Everyone gets the E and the I the wrong way around. Ailey's granny's been doing that for as long as I've known her. So.
And we've been together for 12 years.
Yep, she still can't spell my name right. But I appreciate the effort. And you spell Ailey's name right, which is much harder. So,
well, isn't kudos that to you. The important one? And I would also like to add that Granny basically has the privilege to spell anyone's name the way she wants.
Yeah, that woman's a saint. She can do whatever she likes.
She can do what she likes. She can spell my name wrong, and that is totally fine. I don't mind even a little bit.
So this is from Mike. I love the podcast. I'm generally not a huge podcast person, but Generally Spooky is amazing.
Aww.
Isn't that nice?
We generally love it. Because he said generally.
I see what you did there. We spookily thank you.
Well, I'm trying to do what you do. You know, when I read.
You ruin it.
Yeah.
He and his wife visited Scotland in the summer of 2019 and have been patiently waiting out COVID to return. I cannot wait to visit some of the locations from the show.
Oh, that would be so good.
That'd be really cool, wouldn't it?
Once
the world isn't on fire.
Well, I was just going to say it's great that they got to visit so soon before COVID and everything began. Because for a lot of people, they're dying to go places or go back places that they haven't been in multiple mm-hmm. years.
That was quite lucky.
Summer 2019 isn't that long ago.
No, it's fairly recent, really. And it's reasonable to, like, if you wanted multiple trips, like if we wanted to go multiple times to America, leaving a few years in between would be pretty acceptable.
But at least now, if you want to come back, you have a whole list of places to tour.
I know. Got the tour up and ready.
The Generally Spooky Tour.
Mm-hmm. You can become one of the generals.
Are you still trying to come up with a fan base name?
Yes. I think that's it.
The generals.
The generals.
Yeah, not everyone can be... Too many chefs, Kieran. You can't have everyone be a general. That is a top-heavy management system.
Well.
The spooksters.
Why do you ruin it?
See, they all chanted in response, Kieran. That's the name. I heard them. They're listening and they approve.
Well, I approve of Mike's story, which I shall now share.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike. I heard in the last episode that you were looking for ghost stories. This one involves myself, but I only vaguely remember it happening. When I was 3 or 4 in the late 80s, I used to tell my mum and dad that I used to play with bulldogs at night. It was the first thing I told them every morning. It was an almost daily occurrence, according to them. They started to watch what I was watching on TV, what books I was looking at, and couldn't find anything about bulldogs. As far as they knew, I'd never seen bulldogs before. They thought I just had an active imagination. One day, my dad was speaking to an elderly neighbour and was telling them about how I had imaginary bulldog friends. She laughed and said maybe they were not imaginary. She explained that the previous owners were bulldog breeders and that there were multiple dogs that had passed, buried on the hill behind the house. My dad, shocked, reported this to my mum and they were worried. They asked the priest from our church to come and bless my bedroom. He came with his vestments, Bible, and did some prayers, and like that, I never saw the bulldogs again. I only remember a little of the whole event, but I do remember playing with the dogs in my room, and my love for dogs has continued to this day. I hope that this story has given you a slight spook. Keep up the great work and have a wonderful holidays. Cheers from a big fan, stateside.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike. How weird is that?
I have heard so many stories similar to yours, Mike.
Really?
Yeah, of parents listening to their children, listening to what they say, things they come out with, and they're talking to ghosts, the people who used to live there, like, so many times. It's so common.
Well, in the episode we shared at Christmas, the Reddit ghost stories,
mm-hmm.
there's the little boy who uses his mum's nickname that her mum,
exactly.
that his granny used for her.
Yes.
That he'd never heard before.
It happens all the time.
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
Like, I don't even know how that happens.
Yeah. Maybe the bulldog from Tom and Jerry.
He's friendly.
He's friendly. Not to Tom, but...
Nobody's friendly to Tom.
Yeah. That's pretty weird though, isn't it?
I am so glad that you still like dogs, Mike.
I know. That's nice. Even knowing... Well, it's quite nice, really. You saw a ghost and it grew your love of dogs.
Yeah.
That's much more pleasant.
They didn't do anything wrong.
Seeing demon dogs that put you off dogs forever.
Yeah, that's very different.
Sherlock style.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be good.
No.
How do you rate that? I thoroughly enjoyed that.
I rate that Kennel Club out of 17.
Very nice. Very nice. The Reader's Kennel Club, all about it.
I also want it to be noted that I would like a second puppy, please.
This does come up regularly, and I keep saying no.
And now it's reached the podcast.
Mm.
Now the people know.
Odin doesn't need a brother or sister.
He needs a brother. See, look at him just lying there under my feet.
Lying there depresso because he doesn't have a sibling.
He needs a brother. Odin and Loki?
I mean, it's a dynamic duo.
Mm-hmm.
A father-son hatred-based relationship.
I wonder what name... Because Odin comes from Norse mythology, obviously. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. If we got a little girl, it could be Freya.
That could work.
I love the name Freya.
Mm.
I would like a second dog. Mike, if you could convince Kieran to allow me to buy a second dog.
To get a bulldog.
I would really appreciate it.
How weird would it be, though, having a memory of playing with these dogs, but to have your parents tell you, yeah, you never had dogs in there. Like, these dogs didn't exist, but you have the memory of playing with them.
Did you ever have an imaginary friend?
I don't think so, no.
I didn't either.
Still didn't have a hugely active imagination.
I just had toys. I had toys that had like characters and names.
Yeah, I had
personalities,
that.
But I never had an imaginary friend. Not that I'm aware of. Maybe I'll talk to Mum over Christmas.
You'll have one of those like recovered memories. Yeah. Freak out.
I'll ask her. And she'll be like, oh yeah, you had an imaginary friend that you played with all the time.
Don't you remember Derek?
Derek. Well, that was a fabulous story.
Yes. Thank you very much, Mike.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. And it's fun to know that you're listening from America.
Yeah.
And that's really cool.
Really, really cool. Because we never expected anyone to listen. So whenever we find out that someone listens from a different country, it's like we're starstruck a little bit.
I know.
You guys.
Oh. Well, now I pass back to you for our final...
Our final email. Our final four stories.
The final four. Reached our final four.
I've just successfully taken a photo of where Odin is lying right now. So I'm hoping when we post this episode, I will remember to post this photo so then you can see where he was almost this entire time.
To the pain in the ass we have to deal with.
Yeah.
And that's just me. No phones during the presentation.
I was putting it away! Oh, it's like a Turkish prison. Okay. Our last email comes from the lovely Rhiannon. Thank you very much for sending in your email, Rhiannon. We appreciate it immensely.
We appreciate you.
And I know that we talk fairly often, so I feel like I've already thanked you. But here you are on the podcast.
Yep.
That you're listening to. We have said your name.
Does Rhiannon have her own podcast?
Yes, she does. The Art of Positivity. Hold on.
Hold that thought.
Well, to begin with, Rhiannon Thomas is a very successful and talented artist. We can say that for sure. But she's also just started a podcast that I am trying to find the name of right now.
I think I found it on Spotify.
I have just found it, yes. It's Rhiannon's podcast is The Art of Positivity. But over there, I think she goes by The Wandering Artist on Spotify.
Yes.
But The Art of Positivity, go give her a follow and a listen because she's starting a podcast and we both know how hard that is. It's really difficult to get going. It's very nerve-wracking. It's very scary. And she's out there doing it and she deserves support.
Yeah.
Not least because she's written in with her scary stories.
Yep. So that does help, has to be said.
Yeah. I'm glad that you remembered to mention that. I would have just waxed lyrical about how nice she is, but...
I've got the cold hard facts.
Yes, you have the useful information that will actually help her.
Yep. If you too would like some self-promotion, please email us your spooky story to generallyspooky@gmail.com.
I mean, that's one way to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. We've talked about you long enough, Rhiannon. We're going to tell your stories.
Yep.
Okay. Hi, both.
Hi.
Hope you're well, and the lovely Odin is loving life. He looks like he is. He absolutely is.
I think he is. He seems very just upset with me and depressed, but I think he's fine.
Well, last time it was because you made him go for a walk. So yeah. I don't think it's really depressed. I think he's just cold and lazy.
He was very upset last night when I said walk. He like slunk off and lay down beside the heater.
Yeah. And it's not actually cold. Like, the house isn't freezing. He just doesn't really want to go outside.
Yeah.
Because it's chilly and he would much rather sit on the couch.
So he wants to hang out.
So he's fine.
He's fine. He's loving life.
He's fine. Okay, so I have a few of these stories from both my husband and myself. Apologies for the length, but you know, details. That's totally fine.
The details are important.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the devil is.
The devil is in the details. You're so right. That's why our podcast episode length has like tripled from episode one. God, this episode's going to be so long. We've been so chatty and silly this episode.
We're having a good time. It's been like an hour.
Silly.
Okay. Stop that. It's silly.
Story number one. This one in particular was when I visited a physiotherapist in Swansea. I'm in Wales. She was the ex-physio of the Ospreys rugby union team and was based in a little room in an old workman's legion club. I'll picture the scene. I'm in agony with a messed up shoulder and trapped nerve.
That sounds sore.
My mum had that for a really long time.
She did, yeah.
And she was in agony. So I well understand how bad that could be. Mm. But with my mum's, it's because she was wearing like body armour, so...
Mm. You might have been too.
Weird circumstances there, yeah. But, you know, it's heavy. Trapped nerve, lying face down on the bed in nothing but my jeans, obviously having my back worked on. We make polite conversation, and the CD player, this is years ago. God, I miss CD players.
I know.
It's a whole era that will never come back. Mm. Had my little CD pocket with all my best burning CDs.
It's a good time.
Kids today don't know.
You kids today.
The CD player started to skip back to one song. Now, I should clear up that I'm very much a believer in the supernatural, but also that 90% of cases can be explained by science.
Yeah, for science.
Kieran, the physicist ham sandwich. I'm not quick to jump to the spooks, so a healthy mix. It's kind of like me and you.
Mm-hmm. She's both of us in one.
Yeah. You're our final form. When we transform like the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, we turn into you, Rhiannon.
That's pretty cool.
She apologised, the physio,
mm-hmm.
and set the CD right and told me, and I quote, "I'm terribly sorry, Rhiannon. You see, I'm a medium, and the old owner of the club used to love this song. He visits now and then and skips it back to the start. So I can safely assume the owner is deceased and not about to show up in the flesh," so to speak.
You'd hope not if you're lying there without a top on.
It would be very strange.
Yeah.
It would give the story a whole new flavour. Now, I know what you're thinking, Kieran.
Mm.
This isn't me. It's a scratch on the CD.
I was kind of thinking it was a scratch on the CD.
I thought so too. Until she continued and said... Oh, Mr. Jones. Can't remember his actual name.
Tom.
He's Welsh. Mr. Jones used to think that physio was useless and something meant for the ladies, not big rugby men. To be honest, he was a bit of a cheapskate, so wouldn't have wanted to pay for it. And she laughed. No sooner had she finished the sentence, one of those little glass tea-like candle holders from IKEA... flew across the room. That's all in capitals, so I assume that's how it has to be said. I saw the whole thing. It bounced off the wall and smashed all over the floor. Now, at this point, I'm lying there thinking, Jesus, I'm going to be running naked down the road and the arresting police will never believe I was booking it from a tight purse poltergeist. She apologised to me. And to him, the CD player skipped back to the much-loved song. She cleaned up the mess and came over to the words, okay, if you, or, and came over with the words, okay, if you could just relax, I'll sort that back out. Needless to say, I didn't, and it was like being run over with a steamroller while tensing.
You would just sort of just become a piece of wood, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Like massaging a door.
I mean, would you be better just rescheduling the appointment at that point?
Just relax. Like, all right.
Well, that's 17 out of 17. Loved everything about it. Especially the tight first poltergeist. So just, that's chef's kiss.
Wonderful phrasing.
17 out of 17.
Yep.
I want to read the comic.
Well, that's unusual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not what you expect.
I think my favourite part was when she addressed you directly with exactly what you were thinking.
I know. I feel so looked into.
I think that was my favourite part.
Especially because I was sitting here grinning at me like, well, it's a scratch on the CD, isn't it?
Boom,
it's like,
baby.
It's like the teacher just told me off.
Yeah.
Up at the blackboard right away, like, stop that grinning, Kieran. I'm like, well, how did you know? Solid.
Interesting.
Yeah. I also like the... Just the character says, oh, I'm a medium as well as a physiotherapist.
Like multifaceted.
Are, I know. So often hand in hand. Massage and read your palm at the same time.
I mean, I feel like those are two occupations that go better together than most.
Well, that's true. It's not like medium and banker.
Exactly. That would be unusual. Or accountant.
Mm.
You know? Or physicist.
Ugh. God, can you imagine?
Ugh.
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 Recovering physicist.
Story number two.
Mm.
Now, these are interesting because these come from Rhiannon and her husband's time working in the prison service.
Oh.
Just to give you a little flavour of what we're about to delve into.
Very cool.
With the last three stories. Here we go. I used to work in the prison service. It's where I met my husband. And to clarify, he was my boss, not an inmate.
I mean, that is important to clarify.
Every morning before unlock, when the prisoners came out, I would walk the landings to get the prisoner complaints out of the boxes. Getting through to the healthcare meant either walking 10 minutes outside in the rain or cutting through a small passage / indoor alleyway, connecting the blocks, which was always deserted at that time of day, 7 a.m. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a little passage connecting two buildings, I assume.
Yep.
Oh, I'll explain. You go down the dimly lit corridor to a door.
Mm.
You unlock the door. Unlock the gate directly behind it. Then lock the door and lock the gate.
Makes sense.
Kind of like an airlock system, I guess.
Yeah. Make sure the prisoners don't just nip out.
Yeah. Then you're in a small cut-through room, which is 4 by 4 meters at most. It's not very big. There's a door plus gate to the left and right. And the same in front of you.
Hmm.
So you're totally alone. As soon as I locked the first gate behind me, I had this overwhelming feeling that there was someone behind me. Like a foot behind me. It was unbearable. Big brave breaths, I walked across and opened the other gate, then door, and was immediately met by the smell of toast and the staff laughing in the healthcare. Phew.
Made it.
Next day... Same route, lock the gate so I'm effectively trapped, the same presence. It was overwhelming and so negative and cold, but it was a prison and the unused sections can be cold. This goes on all week, and I'm a brave lass, but this shit is scaring the life out of me. I'd have sworn blind if I'd shut my eyes, there'd have been a guy in there watching me. But his eyes would have been staring into my soul.
That's and not a good feeling.
And here she says, shudder. So shudder. I used to sing, whistle, anything to stop the absolute silence. At one stage, I physically flinched because I felt something against my neck and right arm where I was holding the keys.
Grim.
Now, that I feel for because... Like, when that happened when we were in the vaults and in Greyfriars Kirkyard, it was awful. I hated it. So I feel for that. It's awful. I know you don't.
I I would love to, but I just don't have the capability
you
to.
You wouldn't to feel. Love to. You're perfectly happy.
Well, that's true, eh?
So I gave up. I walked around 10 minutes out of my way outside just to avoid it.
Fair.
I happened to tell my husband, who is also a prison officer there, and he says, which part? Oh, I know the one. Yeah, just a short space from there was the hanging room. Where they'd be hanged for their crimes.
Very nice.
This is you. Too casual.
Oh yeah, that is me.
Once they were dead, they'd be taken immediately to this cut through, the room in question, and laid out. Basically, placed on the gurney and left there while staff sorted out the mortuary for the dead arrivals. It's the first room they go to after being hung, and they'd spend a bit of time there while other things were being organised.
Hmm.
Well now, needless to say, I never, ever went that way again.
Packed up her nopes. It's much more pleasant if you imagine it as the Monty Python, bring out your dead, if that kind of cart.
No, this is just people being hanged.
Mm.
It's wild that that used to be like a standard practice in UK prisons.
Yeah, you kind of forget
mm-hmm.
when it's not witches.
Well, just it happened until about 60 or 70 years ago.
Yeah, weird.
It's not that long. I can't remember when the last...
I can't remember. It was something in the early 1900s, I think.
No, it was like 1950s. People were still being hanged.
Oh, I thought it was that it got outlawed much later on.
No. There was people being executed in the UK until the 50s or 60s, I think.
Brutal.
Yeah. That's why it's weird.
Well, yeah, that would upset you, wouldn't it? It's such a weird phenomenon.
Phenomena.
That you can, like, feel like someone's behind you. And that sometimes there is someone behind you.
I get that all the time.
But whether there's like, you just feel it and you turn around and no one's there. Or you just feel it and you turn around and there is someone there. Like just someone's come into the room that you didn't hear.
I get both.
It's just such a weird thing. Because there's like, do you feel the shift in the air? Like, is it?
It's a weird feeling. It's just like, it's really difficult to explain. It's kind of, you just feel a presence. You just feel the air change and there's just someone there.
Yeah, so I'm curious what it actually is.
Mm.
And in like a factual terms.
Maybe. What if, right? Mm,
hit me.
What if it is the air shifting, but it's those really tiny hairs that are all over your body that pick it up. So you don't actually feel it, but the hairs on like the back of your neck, the really tiny ones.
That's what I'm assuming, that you feel something and it's not like, you know, you feel a table and you can feel it. It's something much...
Just a disturbance in the air.
Yeah, there's something far subtler and just like your eardrums vibrate or something. Maybe. A little bit. There was a weird... I can't remember, it was a documentary I watched ages ago. And it was about a samurai, or current kind of samurais and martial arts practitioners. And it's a guy who would stand with a blindfold on. And then behind him would be a curtain. And then behind that, there's a guy with a bow and arrow. And the guy with the bow and arrow shot the curtain and the guy on the other side of it had to like move out the way. So he was practicing his like sixth sense to move out the way of something. And they fired, I think it was like 100 arrows. And this guy moved out of the time successfully like 70 times.
Wow.
And then the guy who was making the documentary tried and only did it 30 times. So like, and yeah, it was blindfolded with earplugs in, so he couldn't hear it and he couldn't see. He just knew.
That's crazy.
That the bow was about to go off. So you wonder, like, well, what does he know? Because it's, to me, it's not just psychic being psychic.
Well, see, in my mind, the way that I see any kind of psychic ability is it's just another sense that some people are better at than other people.
Yeah.
So like I feel the same way about that some people just are more perceptive, so will feel the presence of someone behind them, like a real person standing behind them.
Yeah.
They're more perceptive of that than other people, in the same way that some people have better eyesight or some people have better hearing.
Well, because I'm terrible at that, because people can sneak up on me really easily.
Yeah, I'm so good at it.
Yeah, I'll just like, when I was in Colorado, and we were all staying, there was quite a few of us staying in one house. I was like making toast or something, and I turned around and there was a guy standing right behind me, and I shat myself. I was like, bah! And he's like, oh, I'm just coming to like make a cup of tea. I was like, oh, sorry, I didn't hear you coming. So why'd you get such a fright? I'm like, I don't know, I just didn't think you were there, like, at all. There was a bunch of us all moving around, and he just appeared behind me. I don't know if he was being particularly quiet, but I just have no perception.
But then sometimes that I'll speak to you in the same room.
Yeah, I just don't hear you.
We can be, like, in conversation, and I'll say something, and you don't hear me.
Yeah, something like, what? I can't think and listen very well.
It drives me mad.
Sure, a lot of husbands say they have this problem, though.
My granda used to, all the time. selective hearing, all the time. He would act like he didn't hear a thing. Mm. He'd just sit in his chair, and he would be listening to every word. Because you'd say something that would be particularly juicy, or you'd say something to wind him up, and he would be on you like that. And he knew.
Always knew.
He was the worst culprit for that.
Mm. I feel I have these similar problems.
No, you don't hear, though.
Yeah, I just often don't hear. So I feel if I were crossing this room, I would never notice anything because I'd be busy thinking about, like, what I'm going to have for my lunch, or, like, oh, I'm going to get a cup of tea soon.
You do like to think two meals ahead.
I do. Or I'll just be thinking about something random entirely. But just me thinking about that will just dull all other senses. Do you ever feel weird in that room? Like, no, never. I'm thinking about, like, this funny thing I'm going to say when I go in to, like, see all them. Or...
Can't think and Luke.
Yeah. I walked like square into the kitchen counter today just because. Anyway.
Oh, that was a very good story.
That was
great. Thank you, Rhiannon.
Sorry,
we got sidetracked there.
Yeah, but we went on a tangent.
We really appreciated it. Thank you.
Thank you.
And then number three.
Number three. Did you say there's four?
Yes.
Oh, man. Some of these generals are kind of attuned to.
Not everyone can be a general.
They're all these generals are very attuned. Well, these people are. They've written stories. They can be
generals.
Maybe,
what if they're generals? And if you're a listener, you're a private. Maybe.
That works.
But then does that, like, are you the dictator? Where does that end?
And then, you know, it leads to you being able to say my privates, and that's not very good.
You definitely shouldn't say that on the internet. Anyway, you can brainstorm that. I'm going to tell Rhiannon's next story. My father, who is also a prison officer, was working on the gate, which was open to the public to come into, at least to that small space. They can inquire as to visiting times, etc., etc., but there's no access through the airlock into the main prison. With me?
Yep.
There's a screened window they can speak to the gate operator, my dad this night in question. A woman came in. My dad looked up and spoke to her. She was chatting to him friendly enough, but seemed a little odd. He realised quickly that she wasn't talking to him, but through him.
Mm.
So inquired as to whether she was okay and if she needed help. But then also realised that it's past hours and the front door is locked, so there truly is no way anyone can get in. He glanced away to one of the other officers working across the room and back, only to be met with an empty room, still locked.
Hmm.
Weird.
That is weird. That popped into my head while you're speaking. Like, who comes to a prison at night to inquire?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you've got to be a bit weird.
Very suspicious.
Yeah.
If a real person, very suspicious.
Oh, yeah. That's a bit strange that you're here. But I suppose, I mean, if it was all kind of, like, industrial lighting, and you were at the question and answer window, so to speak, and someone came up, you would just automatically, well, oh, hey, how's it going?
That's what I was thinking. Like, you're kind of primed to help people if you're in a position like that.
Yeah. Like, oh,
so your first thought isn't you shouldn't be here. The first thought is, oh, what do you need?
Yeah.
What can I help?
Oh, I can help. When you're the receptionist, so to speak.
Creepy.
That is creepy.
Very creepy.
So did he look round to see who she was looking at, or to see the person he thought was in there with him?
I think, let me have a look. So I think he realised that it was strange that she was there, and then he looked at one of the other officers who was in the room, and back to her, and she was gone.
Got you. I thought they were both gone, I miss.
No. I think...
I was obviously thinking about lunch again.
I don't think he was in the room alone. He had other people working there.
Yes.
I can imagine it being a look of, like, is this okay? Can you weigh in?
Especially if she was there, just kind of like staring at nothing, not making eye contact. Talking through him. You just kind of double... It'd just be that look around someone and just kind of like a...
Is this fine?
I'll come over here. I need some backup to see who this whack job is.
Yeah, mm-hmm. is this chill?
Is this fine?
It is cool. A prison.
Well, that's quite strange.
Yeah. Maybe, spooky.
Maybe she bolted.
Maybe. So, oh shit, this is a prison in the middle of the night. I should go.
Got back into her cell.
Ooh.
That was her escape attempt.
Ooh. She's not very good if she just went back to the cell.
Maybe that's what she's asking. Do you have the key to the outside gate?
Have you got the key? Can I borrow it?
Can I borrow that?
Promise I'll give it back.
I swear.
Okay. Last story of the episode. Finally.
The finally. Mm-hmm.
There was a murder in a cell.
Oh. Well, this is going to be a bit brutal regardless, isn't it?
Yep. Two cellmates inside and one killed the other. The police arrived, the murdered person was removed and the body was taken, and the cell is padlocked by the police so the officers can't get into it. Because I guess it's a crime scene, so evidence isn't damaged. That makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's no accusations of prison workers tampering with anything, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
I think so.
On the landing, there's a switchboard of types with all the cell numbers on them. They each have a little plastic see-through window attributed to each cell number.
Yep.
When a prisoner presses his emergency cell bell, a red tally flicks up on the main switchboard.
Okay, yeah.
So you can glance at the board and see which cell has rung the bell.
That makes sense.
It has to be manually reset back at the actual cell, on the outside, by an officer. That'll make sense to me.
And that'll check it.
I wonder if that's similar to like sheltered housing, where you get the
emergency cords and bathrooms and stuff.
They must have a way to tell who who's fallen where. So the night of the murder, the cleanup is done, the room is padlocked off, and the police have the keys. The cell bell inside the padlocked empty cell was activated. So someone or something had to have manually pressed it inside.
Spooky.
The officer goes down to check the switchboard and sees it's attributed to the empty cell. He walks to the cell, manually resets it, thinks it's a bit weird. This happens two more times. Every time the officer, I won't name names, walks down, checks the board, then resets the cell bell from outside the empty cell. Finally, the bell goes off one last time. The officer walks down to the switchboard, which is mounted on the far end of the landing wall. He finds the red tally lying on the floor, with the see-through tally window cover missing. To do this, you'd have to pull the whole board off the wall to be able to get to the back to poke it through. And even then, the red tally is bigger than the hole, so would never have fit through. But on the floor was the red tally for the empty cell of the murdered inmate, lying on the floor while the bell is still ringing. Something pressed it inside the cell. I guess the victim's last-ditch attempt to get help, but it freaked the staff out massively.
Yeah, I would do.
I'll stop there. I have so many from the prison service that I could talk about for hours. There's the ghosts of matrons, old prison officers wearing the old-fashioned cloak uniform, still patrolling the landings, ghosts of men in white coats and shadows that follow you down landings before going through the officers and into the wall next to them. My husband knows of one prisoner who jumped through glass and cut himself to ribbons just to get away from one of the ghosts who appeared in the cell with him.
Oh, fuck.
So there you have it. Not something I can explain with science, and believe me, I've tried. Rhiannon.
Ooh. Thank you, Rhiannon. That was excellent. Those were all excellent.
Isn't that creepy?
That is really creepy. Because when initially I was like, well, it should be faulty. Faulty wiring. Because I'm a terrible person that way.
You're not a terrible person. You're just a ham sandwich.
I'm just a ham. I'm a ham sandwich that way.
Mm-hmm. You're allowed to have opinions. That's okay.
I don't like shitting on anyone, though.
I don't think you're shitting on anyone.
But yeah, well, it could be faulty that it's going off over and over again. But, you know, it'd be a hell of an isolated explosion to blow this thing out from the inside and not damage anything else.
That's very confusing.
That's an extra element of just, ooh, well, that's unusual.
I feel like it gives it a bit more weight because it's a piece of machinery.
Hmm.
Because machinery is reasonably objective.
Well, yeah.
A machine doesn't care if someone's died.
No.
You know, as nasty as that sounds, it's, mm-hmm. it's just a machine. It doesn't have feelings or opinions.
No. Not yet, anyway.
No. But you know what I mean? Like, nothing with the machine should have changed because someone had died.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to someone's perspective.
Yeah, absolutely.
If someone was in the cell, they might believe that they're seeing things or hearing things because they know what just happened there.
Yeah, if they were inside shouting for help.
But a machine doesn't take that into account.
No.
Creepy.
That is creepy. If you are no longer in the prison service, Rhiannon, I understand why. It sounds like a very spooky occupation.
It must be very intense.
Yeah.
But by that token, we will totally take you up on hearing the rest of those stories.
I was saying that. If you'd like to send us some more from the next time we do this.
If you please.
Yeah.
If you have the time, because that was so interesting.
And if you've heard this as a private, one of the listeners. And you are inspired to share with us your ghost story, please do. We have had a lot of fun doing this.
This has been so much fun.
Yeah, and I hope you've enjoyed it as well. This has been more fun than the one we did reading spooky stories from Reddit.
Yeah, big time.
Way more fun. Thoroughly enjoyed this.
Mm-hmm. If you like this style of episode, let us know, mm-hmm. because this is new for us. We haven't done it. But if you want to keep them going, we need your ghost stories.
Yeah.
I may try and wrangle some family members, some friends, see what we got.
We have a couple of people say they need to tell us a ghost story. Mm-hmm. Well, please do, so we can retell it.
You can email us at generallyspooky@gmail.com.
Which is on the website, if you need to find
it. Yes, if you need to find it again, I'll try and have it everywhere. But that's where, mm-hmm. that's probably the best way to get in touch with us. Email us there.
And these are the only ones we've received. So if you've sent one and wonder why we didn't read it, it must have gone to the wrong email address or something.
Yes.
Get in touch again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you, generals, for your contributions.
If you have decided to spend part of your new year listening to this, thank you so much.
Yeah.
We just wanted to treat you over the festive season with a couple of extras.
Yep. To keep you going.
Yeah.
And we will be back with season 3 at the beginning of February.
11th of February?
Yes.
I think is the date. It has been announced at this point.
Yes.
I think it's the 11th.
And
mid-February.
We're going to have lots of fun on Patreon.
Yes.
Around the start of February. So consider subscribing to that.
Yep. You're going to have a content explosion next year. We have so much in the works.
We are going to be busy.
Well, I'm already exhausted.
Yeah. You've been sick. That's probably
it. Happens. But you know, like, there's so much. Yeah. But we can't wait to bring it to you.
Yep. So much spooking, so little time.
Enjoy New Year.
Enjoy it.
All the best for 2022.
Yes. May it be fruitful, good and healthy for you.
Hold on. If people are listening to us on the 1st, do we count as their first fruiters?
Oh.
That's interesting. It's a Scottish tradition that if you first fruit someone, you take a bottle of something. Mm-hmm. Or maybe something to eat. And you go around to someone's house to wish them New Year in person.
Yeah, I think traditionally you brought some coal.
Yes.
I think.
Traditionally, with everyone I know, it's always a bottle.
Yeah. It's a bottle.
Goes down a bit better than coal.
Some shortbread and a piece of coal.
But you know, in theory, if we release this like on New Year and we are the first foreign voices to be in their home, are we first footing?
I think so.
If we are, please tell us.
Yeah.
I want to know.
And with that, we will say goodbye.
Yes. Thank you for all your support.
Thank you.
We appreciate you dearly.
Thank you for an amazing 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Where we begun.
And we will speak to you in February.
Yes, we will. Bye.
Bye.